Football Friday.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
The buffalo is near now. I can see the herd right over there.
Sanders, downfield, got him in! Horn! Atonement! Touchdown!
All you Bears out there!
Hand off to Stewart, he cuts out to the 10, 5, take it in there! Darius Stewart, touchdown! Northern Colorado Bears!
Nicolosi was looking that way, checks down to Horton, touchdown Rams!
Well, hi there, I'm a cowboy!
Michael Hughes, 47 yarder, is blocked and scooped! And the Cowboys are running it back! Hawkins has the football, Hawkins takes it into the end zone, touchdown Wyoming!
Larry pitches outside, Eldridge the third, trying to find the corner, spins inside, hurdles a defender, picks up the first down, and he's still going! John Lee Eldridge the third!
What kind of a horse is that? I've never seen a horse like that before.
Wilson's going to take a shot. Has his man. It's caught. Wide open. It's Mims. Touchdown.
Presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Now, here's Brady Hall.
Welcome into Football Friday. Thanks to the one and only Crazy Carl's Pizza, the best pizza around. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging you. Go to Fort Collins and tell me there's a better pizza place. You won't be able to. You will not be able to. Crazy Carl's Pizza. Here we go. Football Friday, rocking and rolling. Big weekend. Team's a guy, a lot of pressure this weekend, too. Angel, we probably should do the pressure cooker at some point. Like when we just plan stuff on the fly, just throw it at you. You're always ready. You're ready. It doesn't matter. You're ready to go.
99% of the time.
Yeah, 99% of the time you are.
That weird 1% where you send me a clip and it's like, I have it now. No, it's not ready.
Get it ready. I'll send it to you. And like as I'm sending, I'm like, play it. Yeah. Let's go. All right, so let me ask you the question. Which team is feeling the most pressure this weekend to perform? It's got to be the Broncos, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it all week and it reminds me a lot of the Jacksonville game last year, where it was kind of like, if the Broncos lose, Hackett's fired and we're blowing it all up. And then they won, and it was like, okay.
We're fine.
And some high knees on the plane, but we can get over that.
Oh, yeah, that was the high knees game?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's got to be the Broncos again. You cannot start 0-4 with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
You can't do it. Something has to happen if you do that.
And, you know, yeah, they may not turn it around and go 14-3, but you could salvage a bit of season and have your confidence in this next, you know, if you're finishing up the first quarter of the season, not great. You got four more games before you get halfway. What can you do in those four games?
You beat Chicago, you beat the Jets. Then suddenly you're sitting at 2-3, and you're kind of like, all right, we're about a 500 team. You know, you're going to have to win games that you're not supposed to win to catch up at some point. But right now, it's like you're just picking up the pieces. You were trying desperately to pick up the pieces from what happened on Sunday. You know, 0-3, embarrassing loss to the Dolphins, historically embarrassing.
They just scored again, by the way.
They did. I think Tua just threw another touchdown.
It was Mike White.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Tua doesn't even, it's 99 million to 20 still.
Skylar Thompson's actually warming up now.
You got to rebound. You got to rebound against Chicago. Chicago's a train wreck.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
It is
there.
Every day getting worse in Chicago. I don't know which organization is worse right now, Chicago, New York, or Denver.
Chicago and New York are worse than Denver because you're not having personnel issues right now. Mm-hmm. Like Chicago had to move on from one other guy. Yeah. That's the thing. It's really bad there. And that's the thing. If you can't beat Chicago, you're not going to beat anybody. You might go 0-4 this year if you can't beat Chicago. I mean, that's a bold prediction. It's hard to lose all the games. But Chicago's going to be the worst team you're going up against. I think they're worse than the Jets. I do think the Jets have some things going for them. I think defensively they are a better team than they were a year ago. But you just, it's must win to the umpteenth degree. You have to win. You know, the whole Justin Fields thing, it just, I don't know. It just feels like this is going to be one of those games where we're all feeling better about the Broncos not drafting Justin Fields today, right? We're all feeling better about that. That was a conversation of should they take him or should they go with Patrick Surtain? Maybe they should have went with the quarterback. Today, I think people are like, all right, that's, you know, Russ isn't amazing, but better than what's going on with Justin Fields. This could be one of those games where we regret not picking Justin Fields.
It could be. In terms of dysfunction, I think the Broncos' offense is more functional than the Bears right now. The defenses are kind of flip a coin, really. So when it's a game like this, it comes down to coaching. Do you trust Sean Payton or do you trust Eberflus to not completely screw it up?
I still think Sean Payton is a good coach. He is.
He's very much an old mold type of coach in this era of NFL football, but it doesn't mean it can't work.
Yeah, we're seeing effective. All these new guys come up through the ranks and all that stuff.
You hear that Sean's kind of a disciplinarian. He's more...
Yeah, he's strict.
This is my way or the highway.
A perfectionist kind of guy. I think that Sean... But Sean Payton is still good. It's just... The things that he's done that we wrote down last week as red flags have really shown to be, those were legitimate concerns. And I don't know that this team he has right now was ready to handle all that. You know, calling out Russ and backing up what he's going to say, calling out the Jets, calling out Hackett, saying we're going to be anonymous donors. I mean, he came in and packed a media punch. It was a hype train for him. Now you got to look and see if this team can back him up because they haven't done that so far. And Brian said this on Good Morning NoCo the other day. It's not even the Miami loss that kills them the most. It's honestly the first two games, losing to teams like Washington and the Raiders. And he's right. They were going to lose to Miami. I mean, I predicted that last week. I predicted they wouldn't cover. They were going to lose to Miami. So a loss is still a loss at the end of the day. That's the way you can look at this positively. But losing to the Raiders and the Commanders, which I think we both agree are not playoff teams, is a killer for you. You wanted to be 2-1 before you got into the bulk of your schedule, and here you are 0-3. So you talk about finding a way, digging deep, and finding a way to do it. This is it. And what do you think Russell Wilson's numbers are what you call fool's gold at this point? Because he has almost 800 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Or 2 interceptions, excuse me, 2 interceptions.
No, because for the first 2 years as an NFL fan, I was picking apart every single throw and telling people, no, this is actually a good throw, and the numbers are actually telling you this quarterback's a good quarterback. Russell has looked much better this year. There's still clunkiness with the offensive execution, but you can't put that on Russ. If the O-line's not blocking, that's not his fault. If receivers aren't creating separation, that's not his fault.
And if you're not dedicating to the run game and opening up that pass game more by showing that you're going to dedicate to the run game, that's also not Russ's fault. Russ
Unless
is not
he wants to audible out of it.
Russ is not the problem, but he's not the answer today. Now, that could change. He could keep getting better and light it up. First half, Russell Wilson is the answer. We've seen first half so far, Russ looks much better.
No, I mean, I still, you know, I have a feeling that he's going to have a game like that where he's going to, you know, 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns and a crazy play or something. I think he can still do that. I feel more confident saying that this year than last year.
I do, too. I still don't know that. I still think it's clunky with him. I think it takes a lot of work to get him in that mold. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Kirk Cousins. You can just throw out there and he's going to make plays.
I was just watching a highlight video of his 10 best plays in Seattle, and a lot of those plays, he felt like he was comfortable and confident in the pocket, and when I make this throw downfield, I'm confident my receiver's there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he trusts his receivers downfield so much.
It's just not, there's not that pop yet with him. I don't watch him, like with Kirk Cousins, I know they're 0-3, but I can watch him and just go, there's a guy. You know, he looks confident. He's going to just fire down the field. Russ, even when you find something open, you're still kind of like, is he going to get rid of it fast enough? It still just doesn't seem to me, at least based on the eye test, that Russell Wilson is back. He's better, but he's not back.
Well, it's like a wide open pass, and it's either batted down or it's way over his head.
Yeah.
And it's just the weird inaccuracies with Russell that are just, why?
Or he's going to just do a check down over here and go with the running back in the flats. I mean, that, it still feels like it's clunky. But it's weird. His numbers are huge. He's right up there at the top. He's ninth in yards at 791. He's like 7 yards behind Patrick Mahomes, one touchdown behind Patrick Mahomes. They have almost the exact same numbers. Their rating is 99.5. And it, again, you watch Mahomes and it's much different. You know, even when he's scrambling, running around and getting pressure on him, Mahomes, there's a confidence thing there, watching good quarterbacks play. But you just have to be careful with these numbers. You can't get carried away. Now, again, Russ is better than he was last season. But it's still not where it needs to be. He's, like I said, he's not the problem. He was one of the problems last year. He's not the problem this year. But he's right now not necessarily the answer. It's must-win time for the Broncos as they go up against Chicago. And you look at this Bears team. I mean, where do you begin? You know, they get they've been just getting smoked in their games, and they get killed last week, 41-10 to Kansas City. Not a huge shocker there. They lost to the Buccaneers 27-17, and they lost to the Packers 38-20. And you look at what the Packers did last night against the Lions. They don't look like a good football team suddenly. I mean, I'm interested to see how Jordan Love, if he can bounce back the rebound game. But the Bears have just been getting annihilated. And in that game against Chicago, Justin Fields was atrocious. He was absolutely atrocious. 99 yards for him. 11 of 22, 99 yards, a touchdown, threw a pick. He was sacked 3 times. His rating was 58.7. He ran for 47 yards, though. That was it. I mean, this offense is terrible. Defensively for Chicago, not really there either. Hell, Blaine Gabbert threw for 31 yards against Chicago. So you got to win it. This is it. I mean, you said it reminded you of the Jacksonville game. I'll even go back further. I think it was Vic Fangio talking about firing him, and they were going up against Arizona, and the pressure was on. That was when Von Miller came out and said, we're going to beat the blank out of them, guarantee it. They did. They went out, smoked them, and you saw, whoa, okay, this could be the Broncos. And then ultimately it wasn't. This needs to be one of those games, though, where you change your field. We keep saying change the culture. You got to find a way to win a game, show these younger guys what a win looks like, and get some of the losing out of your mouths. Garrett Bowles, you felt bad for the dude going off last week about how he's tired of losing. All he's done since he's been in the NFL is lost for 7 years. And this is why if you lose to Chicago, the extremes are going to have to be done. You start selling off players so you can get draft picks and rebuild this thing from the ground up with Sean Payton, and you want to grow with him. That's where you're going to go. Beat Chicago, then suddenly you go, okay, we've seen the ball go through the hoop. We know we can win a game. Now we got to do it again against the Jets. It would save their season. It would at least for now. I mean, you lose to Chicago, it's over. If you beat Chicago, you have the Jets coming up, and you could work toward maybe saving your season. 19 minutes after the hour. We got picks coming up at the bottom or at the end of this hour. Looking forward to it. Got to get back on track. I like a lot of these matchups, man. I feel pretty confident at where I'm leaning with some of these picks, but we'll see. Colorado playing host to USC this weekend. Broncos should be paying attention to this game in a very big way. We'll talk about that more on the other side. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Has the shine worn off a bit for the Colorado Buffaloes. I mean, 3-0, it was the biggest story in the country, at least the biggest sports story in the country. And then you get absolutely destroyed by the Oregon Ducks. And now, this week, how would you rate it? If you said last week the attention was on a scale from 1 to 10, it was a 10 going in. Where are we at now for the Buffs? Has it calmed down to like a 5? Or is it still up there north of 5?
About a 6.5.
Still up there? You're still seeing national shows talk about them, still hit it. But they've certainly calmed down. Here's what they say, though. I was watching a clip during the break. Stephen A. Team's not ready. Primetime is. That is your ultimate cop-out that keeps you well within. You can be critical of the Buffs, but you could also be on primetime's good side. Terrible take. They're not ready. But primetime is right there along with his team. They are learning together. They got a lot of good skill players through the transfer portal, but they didn't focus on the O-line and the D-line. In the trenches right now is where the Buffs are hurting. You know, talking to players throughout the week, guys like Jacob Sermon for UNC and Jack Howell for CSU, they'll tell you the same thing. The difference from FCS to FBS and Power 5 to Group of 5, it's always in the trenches. You can find, I used to say this, Angel, wide receivers are a dime a dozen. You're going to find talented guys, fast guys that can catch football. But it is difficult to find 300-pound dudes that can move well and block. It's very tough to find it. It's hard to find 300-pound dudes that are good just absorbing blocks and being a D-tackle. And that's where you're seeing the Buffs really struggle. Looking at this matchup, USC, I don't think they're better than Oregon. I think Oregon is, they have proven they can run the ball extremely well. They're not just a high flyer with Nicks there. They can run the ball. Defensively, they're good. They do the opposite of what the Buffs do. They are good in the trenches. They got an offensive line. They got a defensive line. USC, going back, did they show maybe that they're not 100% bulletproof? They ended up beating Arizona State 42-28. I watched that game. It wasn't until the fourth quarter where USC took off. Here's a guy that went after them, Cameron Scadabo. Dude, go watch this guy play football. Go watch him play. Never stops. He is a tank. He had 20 carries for 111 yards and a touchdown. That's what Arizona State was able to do to keep them close in this game. Can the Buffs do that? They are averaging 1.9 yards per carry. If you can get the run game going just a little bit, you would have a chance to beat USC. If I'm scouting USC, how do we focus on the run game? How do we really pick that up? Because that's the way. You're not going to go shot for shot with this team. Arizona State tried to do that in the fourth quarter, and they ended up, you know, the Trojans ended up pulling away. Caleb Williams was good. He had 322 yards, 3 touchdowns. Great game for him. But they were able to run the ball also on Arizona State. That helped them in the end. Marshawn Lloyd, 14 carries, 154 yards. That guy's good. And his numbers right now are certainly showcasing that. What he's done this season, he's almost at 350 on the season through 4 games, 2 touchdowns. He's a stud. He's a shorter guy. He's 5'9", 210 pounds, but he's a brick. So how can the Buffs keep up with USC? I mean, against Oregon, Angel, they did not look like they belonged. That was the big test for the Buffs. Not a lot of people picking you to win that game, but can you show that you belong at that level? And bottom line is, you're not there yet. You have a lot of work to do before you get there. They have shown us by beating TCU, by beating Nebraska easily, by beating CSU, who I think is a good team. They're not getting the credit they deserve, even from, you know, certainly not national media, but even statewide. When you were able to do that, those games, that showed us, okay, 3-0, this is a good team. The Buffs are a good team. Good teams in college football are about 6 to 7 wins. That is who the Buffs are today. Now, against Oregon, they showed us that, yeah, they're not ready for that. And they won't be likely ready for that until they address their situation in the trenches with the offensive line, with that defensive line. This team will not get to where it ultimately wants to go this season if they're going to be that bad against the run and actually running the ball. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. As for Colorado, you know, in that game against TCU, you go back to that. That was Shador coming out party, man. He had 510 yards, four touchdowns. He looked like the real deal. They were able to run a little bit, not much, but you had one guy in Savon Wilkerson who had 45 yards on 13 carries. He was averaging about 3.8 yards per carry. But they used Dylan Edwards in kind of a hybrid run game. Now, he ran for 24 yards, but it was the little quick passes to the flats that got him going that almost were just these. A quick pass like that to your running back is like an extended handoff. So his numbers receiving were 135 yards, but a lot of those he's starting from behind the line of scrimmage. So if I'm CU, I know I'm not going to beat you in the trenches. I'm not going to be able to line my guys up and go right at you. I have to get creative with our running backs. We joked about it. Primetime was asked, are you going to commit to the run game? He said, hey, if you're not a good cook, why would you commit to cooking, you know, right now when it matters? And that's 100% true. You are not, you got to be who you are. And right now the Buffs are, their best bet is to air it out and just hope that their offensive line can hold up. You're going to have to see short passes. You're going to have to see a lot of screens. Shador Sanders has been sacked how many times? A lot? That's the only way you're going to keep pressure off him is to develop a run game, or you have a lot of these short passes that are really working for you. Can they get that going against USC? I think they got a better shot this weekend, certainly, than they did at Oregon. I think the Buffs have been brought down to life a little bit, too. I think their view of this game has changed. Last week, they go in as high as a kite, man. They were feeling so good at 3-0, us against the world, kind of, because the world loves them. And nobody expected us to be here, all that stuff. They had that. They lost all that now. Now I think that they've been toned down a bit. Still no Travis Hunter. I don't know about Shiloh Sanders. That's going to be... Those are both big factors for this team. Both are very good football players for this team. Travis Hunter, obviously, when he's out there, he's one of the best players in the country. So make no mistake, that is a big deal. They're going to have their hands full. Absolutely going to have their hands full. 32 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, a little bit more on this, at least the quarterback play, Shador Sanders, Caleb Williams, Sean Payton should be at this game. He probably won't be, but he should be paying very close attention to this football game. Also, Colorado State, you can't have a letdown. You've lost to FCS teams in the past. You can't have that happen. We'll talk a little more on the other side. UNC plays host to Weber State, too. Talk about changing a culture. They need to win badly. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I want to shout out to Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld County, and are also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Call my guy Ryan today, 970-674-8825. Ryan Hicks, amazing guy. Great community, dude. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shador Sanders, Caleb Williams. Both guys, like today, would be a first-round pick, right? Are you back off of that, Shador Sanders? Mark Johnson, did it convince you anything of that, that he's still a first-rounder?
Yeah, I don't think he wouldn't be a first-rounder.
Yeah, people like going at him, it's like, dude, their line is awful. He snaps the ball and they're in his face. So Shador is a first round pick right now. Will he come out? Will he enter the declare for the draft? I'm not so sure.
So just looking at a mock draft right now from CBS Sports, they have Shedeur Sanders 16th overall to the Falcons. With Williams going 1 to the Cardinals.
Where's the Broncos?
They have the Broncos taking offensive tackle Alumayua Fashanu.
That'll get it going.
Penn State tackle.
Good. I want names that we have a really hard time cause, with.
Because Caleb and Drake are already gone at that point. So if you wanted to maybe reach a little bit for Shedeur.
Trade around.
Maybe there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this game's going to be interesting, though. If you're the Broncos, you should be paying attention to this.
And because Bo Nix at 12.
That's kind of low for Bo Nix, right? Don't you think
he's been in college forever?
Yeah, that's true. He's 97 years old. If you're Denver, though, you're watching this game. You're paying very close attention to what's going on in Boulder this weekend. Because potentially, Caleb Williams could be there at number one. And you lose to Chicago, you shutter on down, and you go after Caleb. It's Caleb time. Although I do think Shedeur Sanders would make sense for this team. I think that he, based on what I've seen so far, he is a very good quarterback.
No interest in May at all? Because I think if it comes down to the Broncos being one or two, they're going to have to pick their guy. And whether that's Caleb, whether that's Drake, whether that's Shedeur, whoever, if that's the move you're making, you're going to have to be sure of that if you're in the top five.
Do you think that there is a concern with a Shedeur Sanders that you're bringing in a lot of hype?
Absolutely.
That you're bringing in the primetime stuff?
I think it's hard to say. It's hard to tell and really say, and no one really wants to say it right now because it's all shiny and new, and it will be shiny and new when Shedeur goes to an NFL team and the fan base will praise Deion for it. But, and you're going to see this as his tenure goes on, when the adversity strikes, how do they react to it?
Mm-hmm.
When the adversity strikes his fans, how do they react to it?
He's. I think primetime has handled the loss to Oregon, the beatdown from Oregon, pretty good this week. But how do you handle it when it's... Because right now you're still ahead.
Sure.
You're still ahead. Nobody thought you'd be 3-1 at this point. So you are still doing more than what everybody thought. How does he handle it if he gets smoked again by USC? How does he handle it if he loses to Arizona State this year or Washington State? How does he handle those things? Yeah. And how will he handle Shedeur Sanders at the next level if he struggles? I don't know. I mean, I like primetime. I don't know how he's going to handle some of this stuff. He hasn't faced a lot of adversity since he's been a head coach.
And with Shedeur, he has coached him his entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that look like?
And, you know,
he loves Sean Payton, though.
It's one thing to have OCs and quarterback coaches on a college team that's actually doing that, but Deion has his hands all over Shedeur.
Yeah, he does. And that will be interesting to see how he responds.
He won't let him go to an NFL organization that doesn't have an OC or a head coach that's good or a quarterback's coach that's reputable.
Now, primetime said in presser yesterday, back off my guy. Sean Payton's my guy. He will get it right. Is that an endorsement for a Shedeur Sanders and a Broncos merging here? And will Shedeur actually go into the draft, though? Because primetime's saying no.
I think that's a decision that Shador's going to have to make, and maybe for the first time in his life, realize I need to be separate from my dad. Not that it's a bad thing. Every kid goes through
this. You've got to create your own thing.
But he needs to become Shedeur Sanders. That's it. Not Shedeur, son of Deion.
Yeah. Well, either way, this is a big game. You know, if Shador's going to be put in a very difficult spot whenever he's going up against tough defenses. Now, from now on, it's not going to be as easy. Why is Colorado State up there?
Colorado 76ers training camp.
Oh, is that today?
No, October. It's next week. October 3-6.
You going to go over there?
Heck no.
Look at the Rams getting freaking national coverage, man.
Is that Moby Arena there?
Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
This is on ESPN right now, folks. Why are the Sixers coming here, though?
I don't know.
What the hell's that? What is Nico Medved up to over there? Should we talk to him?
He's your guy. Come on.
What's going on?
2-time MVP, world champions here, and you're going to bring the enemy?
They're getting paid, aren't they?
It's bad enough we got LeBron coming to town. Now we got Embiid.
Are they getting paid? You paying CSU to use their facilities, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Locker rooms, all that stuff.
Yeah, you get money for it. That's fine. Better than the primetime LeBron thing.
And dirty money is dirty money.
It's still money, though.
It's dirty.
If it weren't money, if they weren't paying, then I would not like this idea. You're going to bring in an enemy to our state and work out? It's like the LeBron James sneakers thing. I didn't like it. But if LeBron's kicking back money to CU, okay, different story. If Philadelphia's paying CSU to use their facility, all right. They got to be paying.
But why? It's so weird.
I have no idea. And I'm sorry, I love CSU. I love Moby.
Like
but is that like the mecca of where to go for basketball?
And was like, hey, we want to use your arena for practice. I'd be like, sure. But it's like, I don't know if I've ever seen this.
I didn't know the teams. I mean, I know they would go elsewhere and do camp. Like the Nuggets used to go to like Colorado Springs, I think. Mm-hmm. But why? To build camaraderie, I guess. You're out on the road away from your family and distractions, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess they want to do some altitude training.
There's going to be Sixers all over the place in Fort Collins. That's nuts, dude. Well, look
it's
at
just
that.
Like gross.
Getting some. More exposure. It's been good for CSU then. They got a lot of exposure going up against the Buffs. Got exposure with this Henry Blackburn, Travis Hunter thing. Positive now. And now they're getting exposure from Moby Arena. That's cool.
I think Travis and Henry should collab more.
Yeah?
I think that's an interesting thing.
Keep doing it?
Yeah. Make it like a, you know, like one week out of the year we hate each other, but every other day it's, hey, what's up,
we're
man?
Best friends.
Yeah.
I don't know,
that could be cool.
I got to be careful with this because you know me, I'm about sports hate.
Mm-hmm.
But I've even had to dial myself back a little more because that was so dangerous with what happened with Henry.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, if you're an alcoholic, you should stay away from alcohol. If you can't go and have one beer with your buddy and it's going to turn into 20 beers, then you got to stay away from it. If you can't handle sports hate, then we got to quit. We got to calm it down. We got to all be buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But if
you can have fun with it and be like, yeah, we're arch rivals now.
But there was so much bad blood, and now it's like, oh, and I'm not changing. This is great that happened. You had a person's life at risk and his family, so I'm glad this happened, but I can't deny. I mean, the juice
not like a weekly
game.
Podcast, but you know, they can hang out every once in a while.
I don't know. Fine line. There's a fine line, Angel.
But you could get like some trash talk back and forth that could lead into next year's game in FOCO. Like,
but it'd all be fake trash talk. They're not really meaning that. They're buddies.
Yeah.
I
can love you off the field and hate you when we put the pads on. That's football.
What do you think Shiloh? I know Shiloh, we're hoping he gets okay, but he was the guy. He came after Henry in his press conference. Everybody else was pretty good. He's the guy who said, if I see him around here, you better watch out. Wonder how that's going.
I just saw a lot of pictures under that video of the two guys from Remember the Titans. And it's like, that's their relationship now. Like, that's my brother and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
No, it's good. It's and. I have a lot of respect for both of them for doing that, and I mean, they had to be nervous. You know, Henry's going to meet this guy that my hit on this guy generated.
Did they show
death
up with like a posse and an entourage? Like,
I don't know.
We're gonna have a rumble in Boulder. Here we go. Bring your boys. I'll bring mine.
Yeah, I wonder. Were other teammates? I didn't watch the entire video. Were there other teammates there?
Oh, I don't know.
I just know they went bowling, and they were boys. They're
Who
friends.
Won?
I don't know.
I'd like to know.
Travis probably won.
Can you really bowl that well with a lacerated liver?
That's a good point. But Travis is an offensive and a defensive player,
well,
so he's probably
CSU
got a little
was
more.
Lifting that day, you could be a little sore, a little worn out.
Yeah, that was a good move. It was good, but let's get back to real life. And again, I don't even want to say it anymore. I don't even want to say get back to sports hating each other because it was so freaking awful how it went down. Because we Buffs fans couldn't handle it. Certain Buffs fans, primetime fans, couldn't handle it. You had to take it to a different level. Me personally, I personally experienced this. Just my tweets are getting me, not death threats, but pretty bad stuff, dude. To the point I changed my profile picture because I had my son on my profile picture. And people were so nasty, some of the things that were said, I had to change my profile picture. Come at me, but not my child. 47 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We got the picks. It's time, Angel. It's time. You'll give your picks first. I'll end the show with mine, and we'll see how it all works out. We'll be right back. It's the whole show. Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos.
Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears!
All right, Angel, it's time to give the picks. I want you to go ahead and give me your picks.
All right. Start off with Utah Tech and CSU.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Rams to win this one. It's Ag Day. Get your pumpkin and alfalfa out there. It's going to be a good night for the Rammies. UNC, Weber State, Bears getting a win. Calling it.
Oh, my gosh. You're going Bears win.
Bears win.
Bears win, Angel. Wow, 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 wow.
Buffs cover.
Buffs cover. 20, what is it, 21 and a half?
Yes. Okay. New Mexico, Wyoming, 14-point spread here.
Yeah, yeah.
New Mexico covers.
Covers that.
San Diego State Air Force, 10 and a half. San Diego State covers.
You got a lot of covers happening.
Denver, Chicago, 2.5 points. Denver covers.
Denver
and wins.
Gets back on the right track. Well, yeah, he could still win by four and not feel great. Okay. All right. We'll see how we differ here. Some of these I'm having a hard time with, for sure. UNC, home against Weber State. It's home. It's a big deal. I don't know that I buy it yet. Defensively, really disappointed me last week. For jumping off sides, all that stuff. But it does seem like the offense is getting going. They're getting a run game going. You got to learn to win, and Weber State's having a down year. They got absolutely annihilated last week. So it's a different year. They're going to come in mad. They think they're better than what they put out on the field. Give me the Bears to win the game. Like the Bears to win. I think Jacob Sermon has a game. I mean, mix it with the run game and all that stuff. Wyoming and New Mexico. Can Wyoming throw the ball more than 5 yards? Can Andrew Peasley do that? I know that last week was his first game back in a bit, but I think they can stop anybody. Defensively, they're coming up with plays. Can the offense move the ball down the field enough to cover 14? They're going to win. Is this a new and improved offense? We thought it was going to be. I mean, give me Wyoming to cover here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to say they do cover. Get the offense rolling here. CSU will be, what is it? Who are they?
The Utah Tech Trailblazers.
Trailblazers, got it. The Rams will blow them out. Fake punt. Air Force, -10.5 against San Diego State. Dude, Air Force. They haven't failed me yet. Well, I guess they did fail me once. Can they cover 10.5? They're going to win. Is that at San Diego State?
It is at Air Force.
It is. Give me Air Force to cover -10.5. They go nuts. I got a lot of confidence in Air Force right now. Which one is more interesting to you, CU or Denver?
Give me your Denver take.
Russell Wilson gets it right. Gets it right, gets it tight. He goes off. You commit to the run game. Everybody walks away from this game feeling much better. Well, how about better than they did a week ago? Give me the Broncos to cover -3.5 against Chicago. Get on the winning side of things. Last one. Did I miss anything yet? All good? Okay. CU going up against USC. Snoop Dogg's there, Tommy Cruise, Matthew McConaughey, Snoopaloo. Everybody's there. Let's go. Wild time. The Buffs are 21.5 point dogs in this game, Angel. Dogs. I don't like what I saw last week with USC against Arizona State. I don't like what I saw. I'm going to go. Prime, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I believe the Buffs are pulling off the upset against USC this weekend. Good night, Northern Colorado.